collection of musky fishing songs, exclusively on Slime Life Records.
That ain't working. Do a stupid podcast. Got your muskies for nothing. Big girls for free. I said, that ain't working. Do a stupid podcast. Got your muskies for nothing. Fat girls for free.
Who could resist the greatest musky fishing songs of the 1980s? Exclusively from Slime Life Records.
Elmer's on a fishing trip far away. He drove all the way to Plover. So many baits that he wants to take. You know he likes his boats a little bit older. I just wanna fish some grubs tonight. Yeah, I don't wanna lose my grub tonight.
Hey folks, this is Steve Urban. As you all well know, I probably don't remember much from the 70s and 80s, but these are the greatest musky songs of all time.
Forget the greatest song ever recorded about solo musky angling. No 1980s musky compilation would be complete without JSE's hit about custom show colors.
But I see your show colors shine through. See your show colors, you got school. But don't be afraid to let them troll.
Hi folks, this is Elmer Jensen, and I can assure you that these songs are the best musky songs ever made.
From the 80s. It doesn't matter how much, you can't afford to not have it. Timeless 1980s musky fishing classic about fishing Smitty jerkbaits. greatest musky fishing classics from the 1980s. Elmer's standing by!
Slime Life Records, Musky Fishing Hits of the 80s, is available exclusively on CD, cassette, 8-track, and Betamax.
Welcome to the Super 80s Musky 360 Podcast, Jay.
Master Mix, Steven.
You know, that is, folks, call now. Elmer is waiting, waiting by the phone.
Elmer's standing by.
Standing by.
That was an incredible compilation of, I mean, how does Slime Life put this stuff together?
I don't know.
Like how?
Yeah. Who knows? It's just the greatest hits of Musky. I am sorry if you do not like the jokes, because that joke lasted like 6 minutes. So
it was a barn burner.
It was a barn burner. Sometimes we get carried away. You know, you could have lived without They Built This Smitty. You know, you could.
We built this Smitty.
We could have cut it down to maybe the best three ideas. No, the jokes don't stop. Yuck at a yuck, yuck, yuck.
No, you got to do more.
My personal favorite is Show Colors. So when you see your friend and he spends a bunch of money on Show Colors, just play him that.
It's a tearjerker.
Just your Show Colors. Anyway, big fun stuff. Oh, goodness gracious. Jay is getting geared up to watch the Packers.
Yep.
Here in a few. We're going to get her knocked out. I am brain dead, Jay.
I can tell.
It was 39 degrees.
Best the rain down in Tennessee.
Oh, all it did was rain. I stood out. It's like anytime it's not 40 degrees and it's raining, so it's not freezing, but it's just, it rained like half an inch. It was unbelievable.
Well, I know what you're going through. You know, it's like you're fishing every day darn near in the type of weather that we would consider late fall sucker season, kind of brutal. You know, you got wind, it's in the 30s, and it's like, you know, granted, you don't have that every day. That was, you know, colder than normal, but I mean, when it's raining the whole time,
wet and cold. Nobody likes that.
I feel you, man.
And I'm just beat to death. It was one of those deals. I had my freaking rain suit over my ice fishing suit. I'm just soaked to death, and you're standing there. The client's like, well, I can't, you know, and they don't want to go in because they came here to fish, and you're just like, I am so cold. Yeah. I can't warm up. Gonna have to drink some Pepsis to get the fires burning. So, anyway, speaking of, don't forget, July 15th, Minocqua, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
So, got a lot of people messaging, a lot of people wanting to hit it on the water around the bash. If you're wanting to do that, let me know. Shoot an email to me or whatever, because we're going to be hitting the water filming for Musky Shop TV. Yep, Jay?
You better believe it. Saturday, July 15th this year.
Yep. And so, Randy Howe, will be there. And then, of course, Steve.
Joe Booker.
Steve.
Herbeck.
Other Steve.
Paul.
Bunch of Steves.
So, Smitty.
Smitty, Steve. Steve Smitty.
And there'll be more, too. There'll be other guests.
Oh, yeah. We got some stuff. So, it's going to be fun. So, but, and I got two emails this week, Jay.
Mm-hmm.
Are you kidding about the after party? No.
Right. They think it's a joke. No.
You know, like we've made too many after party jokes. No, there will be an after party. We're going to more details, but it's happening.
Yeah.
We're doing that. So it'll be fun. But other than that, man, some cool stuff. Little slammer fatty minnow guys. I'll tell you, we talked about that a couple of times. That's going to be a springtime killer. Actually, I think all season. I don't think it's just a spring.
All
bait.
Season long.
That's
all season
killer.
Long.
Yep. What else came out just this week? Two cool new blade baits.
Yeah.
So there is the Musky Fringe, the 8-9 spinner bait, which I think is great if you're fishing sloppy stuff. The stagger baits have been doing pretty good, right?
They have.
And Musky Frenzy has revolutionized the bucktail yet again. I'm teasing. They came out. They didn't say it was game changer. No.
The IC-12s, it's a massive offer.
Yeah.
Yep.
They came out with just a redonkulous, and I, listen,
I condone it entirely. If you're fishing for the big girls, they've got a Indiana and a Colorado 12 option. But one thing, I have caught fish on double 12s, right? It's not something many people do. It is a big fish presentation, but also, too, it is a unbelievably good night fishing methodology.
That's what I wanted to say.
Oh, were you? I didn't know.
I agree.
Yeah. There's, yep. I think we've talked about it before on other podcasts about night fishing, mm-hmm. which is, I don't care what was happening during the day, go with a big bait. Once we're not talking sunset, I'm talking, okay, it's 11:45 at night, it's dark.
Yeah.
Those big presentations, I think that 12 would be awesome for that. You know, it's, or if you're doing the your Canada trip, I'm not going to be afraid to have one of those laying around. You know, just something monster. So,
yep.
What does that thing weigh, Jay? 4.8?
That 4.8. Yeah. Is it really that? Yeah. I can't remember. Okay.
4.8 ounces. So,
large presentation.
Yeah.
Large vibration.
It says two 1 ounce egg sinkers. So maybe
that'll do it.
yeah. I don't know if they're intending to troll, but what I was getting at is I was going to say I like slow rolling those big blades deep, and that's going to be perfect for that.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I couldn't remember. We got so much stuff in late in the week there. It was just kind of like, bam, 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 bam.
Yeah,
because the catalog and everything. And yeah,
if you remember,
the spinner bait though, the first bait you talked about, Musky Friend. This thing is the blades too. You can't really see on the picture because they're free sliding mm-hmm. on the upper shaft on the upper thing.
Yeah.
So it'll engage itself once you start retrieving right. that thing. So. I haven't really seen that on a musky spinner bait, at least recently. And I've heard good things. I know a few people have threw them last year with prototypes coming out. So,
work. That seems like it'll be a pretty cool, like if you're into helicoptering those baits down to the way it's designed. So it's cool. I mean, like I said, that's definitely neat. And if you're chasing those big mamas, that 12, I haven't seen, I think, is that the only 12 on the market right now, at least what we have at the shop?
Oh, I mean, Mayhem's got the supermodel, too. It would be comparable to that.
Well, I was going to ask, on that Frenzy, that IC-12, are they, with it being that heavy out the box, is it intended, is it like a specified troller? Is that what they're doing that for, or is it just cast troll, or because I like when I'm on Eagle, when we're in Canada and stuff, I do like my bucktails extra heavy, so I just didn't know if they're like, oh, yeah, this is a...
No, I don't think it's intended on being a trolling bait. I think it's intended on being a casting bait, actually. It's just, it requires that much weight that, you know, there's so much force with those two blades.
To get it to counter.
Don't quote me on that. You know, I've seen some press stuff that Nick, the guy that owns that company, put out. He's always got really flashy, good-looking, media supporting when he does something, and some cool action shots of hogs hitting, you know. It's just like... 50s coming out of nowhere and hitting it on the figure eight. It's just cool. Who doesn't want to see that? Yeah.
Hey, man, go big.
But look like they were casting, though.
Go big or go home.
Yep.
That's Jay's dating advice.
Muskies. Other fish are just bait.
Go big or go home. Other than that, got some new apparel. And I'll tell you, I like the new couple shirts. Pretty plain. Yeah, I like that.
Okay.
You know, if you want something looking sharp, you're going to take your lady down to the Bonanza, get her that chop steak dinner. That's mm-hmm. They got the black and blue one. I like it. Got some good stuff.
So basic black would be the one you'd choose to go out on a night on the town.
To Ponderosa.
Gotcha. Okay.
Ever been to a Ponderosa, Jay?
Yes, I think so.
They sure serve you a steak. It's sizzling on the plate. Believe it or not.
It's great. It's Ponderosa. Good story.
Ponderosa. Sorry. been drinking, folks. Gotta go down there and have me the Pondo combo. No. Got the flag logo shirt. I love the hoodie with the flag. It's some very handsome apparel.
Yeah, all that stuff's on our homepage on the new and recently released column towards the top.
So. Handsome.
Check it apparel. Out.
Anyway, other than that, goodness gracious. Jay, you've been working tirelessly on the new catalog.
I was working tirelessly on it. Well, apart from tomorrow. We'll finish her up tomorrow. Looks like it's going to the printer tomorrow. So that means they print that bad boy and it comes out 2 weeks. 2 weeks from tomorrow, maybe we'll get them. And then they go out bulk mail, folks. So it's like bulk mail means that the post office can hold it there until they deem it necessary to distribute it. So, yeah. You know what I mean? Some people get it in 2 days. You know, I've talked to people that it's just like, hey, you know, I live in upstate New York. I got my catalog already. I'm like, the 2022? You know, this is going back last year. And it's like, because it just mailed yesterday. How is that even possible?
But I don't know.
That happens sometimes. And, and there's some guy down in, you know, Plover, you know, he's like, hey, I've been waiting 2 weeks here. Well, oh, here it is.
There it
took
is.
2 weeks, folks.
Well, if who knows? Like I said, you have to send a bulk mail because if not, it costs $1 billion to send.
Well, it already does cost $1 billion. But yeah, so basically it should be in your mailbox before Valentine's Day, probably quite a bit before that.
Well, the one thing I was going to say, if you're not signed up for the catalog or if you've changed your address,
let us know.
Yes, do that now.
Or it's free. We mail them out free.
Because
it's 148 pages of pure musky happiness.
It's literally 139 pages of Elmer posing in his new 2023 apparel. just look at Elmer, page 64. Check out Elmer's new dungarees. Anyway. God, I'm sorry. I've lost my mind today. Lost my mind. Well, I'm cold. I'm wet. I'm tired. We're going to get through these. Here she blows. Matt, to whom it may concern, hopefully Steve and Jay, heard them talk about the rigging for a Lakex tube with the hooks on top. I was wondering if I get some instructions, possibly some pictures. I have teased this multiple times.
Yep.
And I always forget. To be honest with you, we do the podcast like, oh, I'm going to put up a thing. Jay, remind me this week. I will put a short on the app on this. But I'll walk you through it. Where's one hanging
I
on
remember there? That now. Yeah. It was like a year ago. Yep.
Well, thanks for reminding everybody. I didn't want to give away my super toad secrets. Where's one on the wall? Because I was going to see
that's
how many
kind
rings.
Of your... What you're getting at, it's kind of like a weedless toad presentation for slow popping, right?
Well, let's not get carried away now. Let me walk. I'm digging on the walls of the bait cave.
I can hear.
Wish me luck.
Okay. Don't get hooked.
I've done that before. This is not. This is not a room you stumble in. Let me put it that way. I've got my toad. I got my toad. I got the whole toad in my hand. What do you think, Jay? I got the whole toad.
It looks great.
Anyway, so here's what I'm doing. I'll walk you through it. Man, dig, if you will, this picture. What I'm doing, taking both the hooks off of the toad, right?
Mm-hmm.
Gone. Mm-hmm. So I have a hookless toad. On the top of that bait, you have your line tie that you're connecting your hook hanger to. I will take one of the hooks and I'll put it on the top of the toad there that I am taking. I will use straight wire like you'd make your jerk bait leaders out of, that thin wire, right? You can make a jerk bait leader out of it, or I will use a multi-strand wire and crimps. Doesn't matter. I will take the other hook and I will bury it in the V of that toad, right? Right where these legs split. So I'll put that hook straight back there. So he's got two barbs sticking up in between his back tails. And I will take a piece of wire and go from that split ring to that front hook hanger. And so now both of your hooks are on top of that toad, right? The other little thing I'll do to keep that top hook from flopping around, and you've heard me talk about this trick before, is I will take a rubber band, like a dental rubber band, like if you had braces when you were a kid, mm-hmm. those small ones, and I'll run around the front of that toad so the rear hook's buried between the back tails and the top one is already on the top of the bait, and I'll just put that dental rubber band around that hook and under the body, which will keep it from flopping around. You can make bottom contact with that toad continually, right? You're not going to snag. You're not going to pick things up off the bottom. You're not going to pick up weeds. What I've done for the weed situation, in very heavy weed situations, you know the lake with the hole in the middle, Jay?
Pedestal Pill?
No, the lake. It's a lake I'm not going to name, but there's a lake. I've taken you out there, and there's a hole in the middle of the lake, and there's all the
fish. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Right. You know, went out there with Frosty one day and made this work. Right? Mm-hmm. Very dense weeds where you don't want to fish a tube in that situation. It's just the tube's going to get fouled up. It's going to get messy. It's going to get this. That toad falls a little bit flatter. And with the hooks on the top of this, I can pretty much go like, oh, I can feel the weeds. And I rip it back up and I'm not pulling up a bunch of weeds. So cool. It's helpful in that methodology. Jay will remind me this week, not tomorrow because I'm going to sleep in. But Jay will remind me this week. I'll shoot a quick video on top loading your toad. It's pretty helpful. Like I said, if you're fishing a lot of timber, if you're a southern guy and fishing a lot of timber, or you're fishing log jams, I like using this around cribs. If you're fishing like cribs, also too, a lot of times in the south, people, they'll gather Christmas trees.
Yeah,
and drop them for crappie habitat. That stuff's not like nasty. You know, if you're fishing your deep rubber in that, you're going to get snagged. I'm not saying this is never going to snag up or never going to get fouled, but it's way less. And it's a really good presentation, just sort of hopping it on the bottom, and you're not worried about picking up muck or picking up weeds and stuff. You know, because even in the late part of the year, you'll have all dying, decaying weeds. You'll have scum on the bottom. And this is a relatively clean way to make bottom contact and bring it up. So I'll shoot a little short. I'll throw it up on the app. But yeah, that is the verbal walkthrough on your top loaded toad. Jay, cool. When's the last time you loaded your toad?
Just talking about that. Not being able to fish right now. Not being able to fish muskies right now. Mm-hmm. Oh boy. Hope this winter goes quick. Well, can't wait to fish.
Wait, and you listen, you ever just load your own toad?
No, I don't really load the toads.
Load the toad. Thanks for playing along, Jay. Good job. Cole, hey, Steve and Jay. Huge fan of the podcast. Started musky fishing about a year ago and tuned in about 6 months ago and have not missed an episode. He's listened to them all. Appreciate it. You're the best. Excuse me. Was curious to see your recommendation for a rod and reel combo that worked for both trolling and a sucker rig, but primarily the later, meaning a sucker rig. What are your recommendations regarding length? I fish off a 16-foot tiller line, mostly by myself, so you know, most I need to run is two rods. Thanks in advance. I'll see you at the summer bash. Well, what nice. I can tell you, Cole, you missed for about 700 episodes there. It was nothing but rod questions when the shield rod came out. But me and Jay, we both run shield rods. When I'm trolling, and if you watch any of the trolling videos we've done and all this stuff, I absolutely love the shield rod, the trolling series, which is trolling / sucker rod.
Yep.
And it's an 8-footer, full cork. And we've got some episodes and some video will be coming out of me taking these things and fishing docks with them. And there's actually a podcast. I saw his question coming up on the podcast. He was on the boat with me recently. And like, he's watching me take those rods 4 miles an hour and just beat them off of docks. And I mean, the rod is physically hitting the dock, right? That's how close I want to get. Can't break them. Can't tear them up. They're just beastly. But what's cool about the shield rod, the trolling / live bait series is where the flex point is, right? So under both circumstances, when we're doing this rod, there's a lot of conversation that went into backbone, but a soft action at the tip so you could see the action of the bait in the water, right? Mm-hmm. You don't want this pull cue that you can't really see these smaller cranks. So I could run, say, a Lungeon 22 short. I can run one of those new fat slammers. And I can see the rod action. I can remove a headlock and it'll take that. But when a fish hits, it doesn't really bend tremendously. That soft action, now, I don't want to say it called a soft, but it's like a medium heavy action at the tip that ends at like the third eyelet, right? And it's not an action thing. It's just like a softer tip, and you see the action in the bait, and then they hit, and then it just loads up superbly well. So yeah, it's great for that.
That's where the taper is. Right. Perfect.
And so the taper is just right there towards the end. It's got all the backbone. And then for, you know, most of your sucker fishing, you're going to set vertically. You know, when you get a wrench on that fish, you got all the backbone of a really heavy rod with that soft tip where you can see what's going on. So if I'm looking
Go ahead. Sorry to interrupt. Yeah, because in a lot of glass rods, a lot of big manufacturers too that make glass rods, they always offer them in moderate actions. And that's what you're talking about is the action. You know, the power is the strength of the rod.
Right.
You know, and what it can handle. But the action is like where the taper is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you get these, some of these moderate actions go almost halfway up the rod. And that is not ideal for musky fishing.
Well, it's not ideal. Like, you get that short whack, bam, trolling strike. I feel like just a little bit of soft. You want that rod to answer that fish fast, trolling. And that's the thing. Is like some of these other rods, too much flex all the way down. That trolling shield rod, I mean, it's going to flex all the way down. But I'm talking under circumstance of that bait's going 3.5 miles an hour and that fish hits. Man, but he hits it, he's hooked. And that's the biggest thing of like that hooking power. And that's why, like I said, it's perfect for the suckers too. Because, I mean, once you lift on him, it's over with. Boom. You know, you've driven the hooks home. And like you're saying, Jay, I mean, that, you know, a lot of time was spent on where that taper is, where that action's happening, you know, and it's not like a floppy, you know, you look at some of these trolling rods where the really soft, it's not really soft. It's just like, you can see the action, you know, we have it's one of these attention to detail things. We're like, okay, it's that sweet spot of you know the baits are working. Whether you're slow trawling a spinner bait, you can see the vibrations. So.
I can't stand those overly moderate actions. No. It becomes a kind of a rubbery present location is what you're using, and it's just like I don't like that. I don't think it works.
So somewhere in that happy middle. So if you're looking for that trolling, that sucker setup, that 8-foot shield rod is perfect. I don't run long rods when I'm trolling, because if I need to get something out there, I'm breaking out my blade planer boards, right?
Yeah.
And I like it. I like my, I'm branded. I like my 8-footers because they're easier to store. And I'll tell you, as an aside, I've started using, I grabbed some this summer from the shop, these rod socks.
Because, the VRX ones?
Yeah. No, the ones, the rod socks, say Musky Shop on those red ones or whatever the heck
they are. Made by VRX.
As a VRX, who cares? Whatever. What's a VRX? Rod sock. No. I had never used those before. I always thought they're kind of dumb. You see all the bass guys with them? I really dig them now because I'm leaving my trolling rods rigged, you know? So if you got a couple trolling rods and you're putting them in a rod locker, you got an open locker like I do, or you're putting them on the deck, that's a great, what are they, $5?
Yeah.
Whatever. That's a great investment for keeping things from not getting frayed or baits caught in them. So if, like, you know, you're going to store a couple trolling rods or a live bait rod or any rod you want to leave rigged up, because I'm notoriously lazy at the end of a shift on the boat.
Yeah.
Where I just grab everything and just throw it in a place. Rah! I'll deal with it tomorrow. You know, so I've had to force myself to use the rod socks on the trolling rods, but it's saving me a lot of pain. So that's a recommendation.
They work great. I agree.
Yeah, I thought they were stupid. I'm not gonna lie. For years, when they started seeing all these bass guys running around with, I was like, that's dumb.
Well, it's like you want to pull the third rod down, and it's just like then you start shaking it, and then the eyelets are getting, and then it gets around the line of the other one. These just you grab it, pull it, slides right out, done.
Jay, you've seen me cursing at the rod locker. Just got 17 rods.
Ah! I have. Ah, that's the sound he makes.
Just
you nailed
pulling
it.
On things. So that, other than that, goodness, man. Well, yeah. Jack. Where I'm fishing, the muskies seem to love walleye baits. Every walleye angler I know catches more muskies than anyone catching fishing for muskies. Do I dare ask you to make a recommendation for walleye lures that will catch muskies, or is it not muskie fishing? Well, catching muskies is muskie fishing, right? Been known to do it. And especially in the spring, you can do really well on some of your walleye-sized cranks. You simply can. Trying to think off the top of my head.
The essence of downsizing.
Right. And a comment I would make on why some of these walleye guys are catching fish while muskie guys are not. They're fishing deeper and slower.
Yeah, good point.
Okay. So Josh Krieger, he's running down where we're going to be fishing here over the next couple of days and everything. And I may have mentioned on the podcast before, but he witnessed it. Me back trolling for muskies. He's seen it. You know, one of those things, y'all, you're full of it, right? You're not doing that. 0.9, 1.1, right?
Okay. Real slow.
Real slow. And hopefully Ben can whip up some, but using like musky bammas, right? Dragging musky bammas right off the bottom as slow as I can get them. And whacking fish, right? There is a couple baits. There's a bait that's the Livingston Interceptor, right? Which is actually it's just a walleye bait. And Eric at Livingston was cool enough to send me a bunch of those. Those have been killer, right? And you can look at some, I don't even know what walleye cranks we sell, but, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. Now, what I would recommend is you're going to have to think like a walleye angler on thinner line diameter, getting depth, achieving depth. Now, you don't want to forego a leader. You can use a really thin little small wire leader or make your own. But when I'm talking about, I've talked about on the podcast before, about keeping a mono reel, right? A lot of your walleye guys are still running mono because they achieve depth really quick trolling and all this fun stuff. So
right.
You're going to have to look at it in that regard. I mean, I'll tell you, when people are jigging, it's always funny. People are jigging like walleye jigs and catching muskies. I mean, don't be afraid to do it. If that's what's working on your body of water at that time, you need to get in the game. I just recommend you making sure you were using a leader, because of any people I think that break off fish or lose muskies or walleye anglers, right? You know, these guys are like, oh, I lost a fish, right? You know, you don't want to, if you're targeting muskies and you're fishing musky areas and you're targeting, make sure you have a leader on, but downsize that stuff. Go to that thin diameter line. Go to a monofilament. Make sure you're using a leader, and don't be afraid to run those presentations. There's somebody's water where they just want small stuff anyway.
Excellent bait would be a Rapala shad wrap.
Shad wrap, yep.
They're killers around where I live, right? You know, up north here in Wisconsin. Right.
Which is what's a 5-inch bait though overall? I'm thinking,
yeah,
you know, but I'm thinking threes and fours though. And I that's, you know, shad wrap still musky size. But if you look at how well like a Lungeon 22 short's done, that's a walleye bait pretty much.
It's a small body bait.
You know, so don't be afraid of going for those small presentations. If you find out like, hey, you know, people are catching muskies regularly on this walleye bait, get them in the boat, run them with the right diameter line and put a leader on, you'll smack some fish.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a couple bass baits that I still use with regularity. Now, the one thing I'll say with any bass lure or walleye lure, I'm trying to purpose for muskies, right? I'm going to make sure that I'm getting the right hooks, because there's a couple old school like 70s bass baits that I live and die by. I still throw them, right? But the hooks are really thin. You're gonna have to upgrade hooks on a lot of stuff so you're not bending out on fish all the time, right? There's no point in going through all this rigmarole to get a muskie on but not upping the hooks. Now, I do not mean upping the hooks by a bunch of sizes. At times you'll have to find, you know, 1/0 treble hooks, but double strong, triple strong, right? So you're not changing the action of the bait too terribly much. Yeah. You're going to get a hook right. That's going to bend, which is like not dissimilar from what we're talking about with like the factory hooks on a crane, right? Mm-hmm. Crane baits typically come with a one-time strong hook that if you're fishing on trophy class water, you're going to have to consider backing your drag off or upping your hooks on those baits quite often. You know, it's a small hooked bait.
Yeah. And a lighter rod setup is going to aid you with that too.
Yeah.
You
know,
you're not going to overexert the split rings on the hook.
That good point, because you don't want to take your extra heavy rod with 80 pound braid and 130 pound leader on a 4-inch walleye bait.
Yeah. You hate to lose a good fish.
Right. And it'll happen. You got to sort of go, you know, the right setup. I mean, with anything, but you know, just don't smack. You said it already. Don't smack a walleye bait on your musky rod and expect it to pan out the way you want it to. One thing I'll do if I am fishing bassier size baits or baits that are, maybe not the heaviest stuff as far as hardware, back the drag off significantly and just.
Yeah.
Sort of prepare yourself. And it's a good habit to have anyway, is thumb on the spool when you set the hook. Right? So if you're palming to do that, it's just something to consider. It's not something you can do if you're using the foregrip on your rod so much. But if I'm usually using a bass size presentation, in general, it is a crankbait, and I'm palming the reel, so I'm going to have a slack drag, but I got to set the hook, and I'm just laying my thumb on there, so it's going to get the hook penetration in the quick pull. Right, so softer drag up the hardware, because heck, Jay, I mean, you look at some of the best walleye, some of these airplane jigs, some of the steel shads. I mean, you look at a steel shad, that's a fuzzy does it, you know, that's just a downsized fuzzy does it. So,
okay,
you know, so you're gonna connect with fish, you know, just think about that setup there. I'm thinking. In the back of my head, when I'm saying all this, sometimes it's better off, you know, don't fight it, join them. So get you.
Yeah, early season, it's a nice alternative to have, you know.
And in bad conditions. I mean, a lot of the stuff we talk about, slowing down, and I think of anybody that's patient and slow is walleye fishermen.
Very true.
You know, they are slow moving, slow trolling, crazy stuff. David, speaking of trolling, when trolling in the summer, how do you keep weeds off of your lines? I'm sick of cleaning weeds off of all my lures. Well, part of it. Jay, what do you think?
Probably trolling down the Madison chain.
Well, you know, you do. St. Clair gets nasty like that, I think.
Or a multitude of other waterways.
Everybody.
Yeah.
You know, you get skiers out there, they're chopping up weeds, and everybody's chopping up. It's part of the game. It just simply is, and it gets really old.
Well, you could put your rod tip underwater when you set your rod holders. You know, that's a good old-fashioned tip that's going to keep some of them off, at least.
Yeah, have the tip in the water, and then you'll see a bunch of weeds accumulate on the tip, and then you know pull it up and get that off, and then make sure they don't slide down to the bait.
And by doing that, you know, your lure is still running, and you're still a little bit more effectively, you know.
I would say that in general, and this is just, you don't want to put baits out to troll for muskies and they're down in the water for like 2 hours unattended, right? That shouldn't be the goal. For me, like, trolling is an active endeavor. But you definitely want to make it more than 100 yards, you know, that you're not all fouled up. So,
right.
You know, for me, it's like tips in for sure, right? Now, one thing that I've done really well with is using the blade planer boards in the heavy weeds. I might not need the planer board out for distance, but that thing's catching the weeds up front, right? So, it's very similar to like tips in the water. So if I've got, say I'm running a spread of 4, right? I might not be worried about spreading the lines out as much as I'm worried about using that planer board to just gather weeds and keep me free. Because the fear is like, you know, do I have a fish behind me? Am I not getting the action that I want? So, you know, like Jay said, tips in the water, planer board in front of it will help. I've seen a lot of different stuff over the years, Jay, where it's like weed gathering things. Right, Okay. Like these little wires that you can put on above your leader, this, that, and the other. My problem with that is, like, once you get enough weed on that, or you got weed on that setup, it's going to change your running. It's adding weight. You know what I'm saying? It's adding, like, this weird friction.
And you still have to attend to it.
Right. You're still wrenching it up. So just simply, like I said, planer board in front of the bait, rod tip in the water. One thing I will do if I can, depends on where I'm at. Let's say it's like a one rod per state, right? Mm-hmm. Is getting those things. And it's not what I want to do, but sometimes it's what you have to do, is just put it behind the boat, right? So if I've got two rods, if I can only fish two rods, I'm going to have them both behind the boat with the tips in, which the boat's going to push the majority of those weeds to either side of the boat, port and starboard, as you cut through them, the floaters, right? So the boat, the wake of the boat's pushing them side to side. And it's more often those rods that are off to your side are going to pick up the weeds and the rods that are right behind the boat. So if you're relegated to just a one or a two rod thing, just have it behind there so your boat's pushing most of that floating crap out of your way.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's helpful. And like I said, you know, if you're running six lines and there's a bunch of floating weeds, it's just a nightmare. And I've had it where, you know, okay, guys, forget this. We're going to take and we're going to fish two rods and jamming them down. The other consideration is, Jay was talking about tips. Let's say it's bad, but we know we need to troll. Like, you're dialed in. We got to troll. I've been catching fish trolling, or it is a trolling bite, period. But we're faced with a ton of weeds like that. Is I will take my Phobies on the extension arms, and I will put those where the rod is in the water, usually up to the last eyelet, right? So let's say I'm going to fish one of those 8-foot shields. Well, now I've got 5 feet of rod in the water, right? That's going to keep you out of a lot of trouble, period. But now you've got a bunch of rod in the water and you need to do some quick calculations in your head or best guesstimations of your running depth, right?
Mm-hmm.
So shave the rod length off of your running depth you're looking for, right? So if you got 5 feet in, reduce the line, add X amount of speed, they'll sort of get you there. But I mean, you're not going to get enough in general. You're not going to get enough weed on that rod that it's going to make it to the tip of the rod and then down to the lure. Right. And it's not going to mess up the rod. It's not going to cause a problem. You're just going to be in a position where you're really not picking up any weeds. Then that's the most weedless that I run. Jay, is anything you've seen where you're like, this is other than, I know often I'll make Jay stand in the front of the boat with a large pool cleaner while we're trolling, and he's scooping the weeds as we come to him.
Right. That's why we have that 40-gallon plastic trash can in the middle of the boat.
The large pool
scoop
cleaner.
Scoop up and fill it up, Jay.
Jay, there's weeds. Start scooping.
No. Like you said, you know, I can imagine some of those trips. We can't do that in Wisconsin, but, you know, like when you're running six lines and you got mm-hmm. clients in the boat, it's like, here we go.
Here we go. Well, I mean,
you know, it's like, okay, take the second from port side and reel that in and snap it a couple times, try to get that thing off, you know, don't want to stop. And
it's annoying. I mean,
what's off, man.
What kills me is the freaking leaves more than anything.
Yeah.
I hate leaves. I like weeds I can deal with, but in the fall, it's like, okay, I'll be on a really sweet trolling bite. I'm like, yeah, dude, I'm rocking. And then it'll be windy like at night, or there'll be a storm that comes through, and the next day the entire lake is nothing but leaves.
Oh, and those darn things are like suspended all over the water column. Yeah, too. See, it's like, horrible.
They're horrible. And you're like, exactly. They're like, how did I pick up a leaf? You know,
and that one darn little leaf can do a lot of damage to a. I mean, it all takes
it
is
just
one.
Kills, like, that, yeah, kills it all kills the it. Action. You can be running a 10-inch headlock and get a leaf on it, and it'll mess it up.
Yeah,
I don't know how. I'd be like, what? You watch the rod tip action change, you're like, that doesn't look right. You realize there's like a freaking oak leaf. But, you know, those are just some thoughts there. I mean, like I said, jamming the whole rod in the water is going to keep you out of a lot of trouble, but it's not the way I prefer to do it. But when I got to do it, it's an option. Randall, tail prop lures. Does it even matter at this point? Are they all the same? They all look the same. They all seem to have the same action. Does it matter which brand I buy? Do they accomplish the same goal of catching muskies? Or does one have something that makes it better than others?
Mm-mm.
Who?
Mm-mm. No.
What do you mean?
Is one better than another? Absolutely not. They're all completely different sounds. It's all about the sound, not how much they bought. A lot of people are kind of in the belief of that it's like you just have to have maximum water throw with those things.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be tuned so that the water's shooting up 24 inches behind that thing. It's like, mm-hmm. well, at times that might be the thing, that might be the trigger that trips them, but it's like, mm-mm. Look at a tallywhacker or you know, like a Smitty top kick.
I ain't looking at a tallywhacker.
Subtle.
If I have to look at a tallywhacker, you look at my gooch. Anyway.
You're such a moron.
You're a moron.
You are too.
Look at my gooch. So beaten and so battered. Look at my gooch.
Maybe next week.
On this week's stirring Hit episode song. Of the Musky 360 podcast, Jay sings Look at My Gooch. Thank you, Gooch's Tallywhacker, for the never-ending jokes. it's been 30 years of Gooch's Tallywhacker jokes. I mean, you mentioned your Gooch, and I mean, that's a more subtle topwater, like you said.
Yeah.
And to me, okay, so the big players in topwater tail props, Top Raider, Lake X. What else is like really relevant though? Like there's some chaos stuff and it's sort of obtuse in some regard.
Yeah, yeah. The River to Sea Whopper Plopper.
There you go, Whopper Plopper.
That's a good one.
Those are like let's go with those three. So those are probably the most common, if you will.
Yeah.
So, to me, it's just like where they sit in the water matters. So, sonically, what they sound like. Jay did a great video. God, it's scary. I think it's like 2 years ago. It was a topwater shootout where we recorded all the sounds.
Oh, yeah, right.
You can hear the difference, but like the fat bastard seems to have a more aggressive boop, 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 right, sound. But it rides up on the water. It can seem to, at times, at high speeds, start to roll, right? Not a bad thing. Not knocking. I'm comparing, giving you an example here. Where, like, the Top Raider is not as bassy, but rides a little bit lower in the water, right? And doesn't seem to roll. Now, it depends on which one you got. I'm just talking about the ones I'm throwing all this stuff, right? Some roll, some don't, some this, some that. But those baits have a distinctively different sound where you can tweak the tail. Now, like at the Fat Bastard, the tail's a little bit more bendable where the Top Raider tail's pretty much fixed, right? So right, you can play with that tail. A Gooch is the same way. You can bend the tail a little bit more. So like the Fat Bastard, you can bend it to get less of a plop, more of a plop, a little bit more... for lack of a better term, a bassier, more booming pop, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the best producing topwaters that I've, and I'm talking from watching Joe do it in person to some of the ones I've run, are some of these top raiders that run with their back half out of the water, right? So that top raider is not sitting completely on top. He's sort of breaking the surface the whole time, right? So there's different considerations here, and you go, why does that matter? And what I'm getting at of this is, like, I think the sonics matter, and I think also, too, where they're riding in the water column more than anything. I say water column, I misspoke, but where they're riding, like, on the, you know,
I know what you mean.
I want the head of the bait pushing water. That makes any sense, right?
I think you hook more fish.
Yeah.
How many times have you seen a bait go flying and a muskie, you know, whack at a, you know, at a surface bait? And It blows. You got nothing. You got no iron. Yeah, the ones that ride lower in the again the water column.
It seems you say water.
A better percentage of hookup. Yeah,
I mean, we're splitting hairs, but it's worth splitting. I mean, another bait. You know, we should have mentioned that one. The pacemaker.
Yeah,
the drifter one. You know, that one has the cut hook. I think, I don't know if they still do that, but they have the cut hook, so it's clanging around. It sounds different, but
a little clank. Yeah,
you know, I'm wondering.
I kind of put that one kind of in between noise level between right. the top and bottom.
But for me, it's one of those deals where you go, okay, we will never know completely in this regard, right? You can't make the, and I'm not saying the exact same cast as far as the exact same cast, one right after another. I'm saying that cast, right? That very moment in time, you can't replicate. You can't test how that fish was staged, what he was doing at that very second. Did a shad swim by or a tulipy swim by and then your bait swam by? You know, there's too many things that could happen. You can't make one cast and then a second cast and compare them, right, with any of this. But I don't know of a better way to articulate than you just feel from contacts of spending time with maybe a fat bastard and then spending time with a top raider and going, they're on this or on that, but it's the why I can't come up with, right, to articulate the perfect, like, this is the scenario that makes this work better than the other at that moment, right? Because, like I was getting at or alluding to, you can't compare these things cast to cast. If you cast the bait once and then cast, let's say me and Jerry stand next to you in the nose of the boat, right? We're shoulder to shoulder and he has a top raider and I have a fat bastard and he throws it and brings it in and doesn't move a fish, and I throw it in the same spot and bring it in and move a fish. It doesn't mean one worked better than the other. It means at that moment in time it worked. But I think having, excuse me, a selection of these things and playing with them out the course of the evening or course of the day, you'll find that, like, one day they'll be on the Fat B and the next day they're on the top raider. I think for me, the biggest thing I worry about with top water is hooking ratio. Like I said, you're always going to hear people go, well, that one's louder and that's why it's working. I don't know.
Yeah, I disagree totally.
Yeah.
I mean, there's times, yeah, absolutely they work. And maybe they work better in more wavy conditions. Mm-hmm. Maybe when the watt, the light penetration's just getting at its very lowest point of the day and the watt, everything's laid down and it's almost like glass and you throw something subtle. Bam, you get a huge explosion, you know. And you build a nice fish. I mean, it's happened a million times to a lot of people.
Well, that's the one, like I said, it's I'm not trying to beat the horse, but I just go, you know, crankbaits, glide baits, rubber baits, we can compare the rate of fall, right? Do they suspend? Do they twitch? How deep do they dive? All this stuff. Topwater's weird in that regard, is they're all on that same linear plane. They're on the surface of the water. So what's really triggering that fish one versus another? I mean, you know, it might be a matter of you're throwing the old magic back, you know? I mean, what really is the real difference between those tail prop top waters becomes the question. And those are the only things that I know is volume of the tail, but I think more than that is just how they're digging into the water, how they're sitting in the water, how they're running. I'll be honest with you, a lot of my top waters, I do put a little bit of lead tape on the bottom of them to get them to run a little bit head down. I don't want them sinking by any means, but I want them sitting about half out, right, in the nose of the bait. It keeps baits from rolling over. It keeps the hookup, like when the fish comes up to hit, if he's got a little bit, he's not just, this is one thing to make a better visual reference than an audio reference, but I'm trying to get there, which is, I want that bait dug in a little bit on the surface because it has less of a, it's less likely to get blown out. It's less likely to roll over. And I really am big on that push. I want the nose of that bait pushing water in front of that prop. That's probably one of my hangups.
Yeah. I think it's key too. I agree.
A lot of those videos, if you've ever watched Topwater Terrors.
Yeah.
Right. released in 1974. No, I'm kidding. That's probably 90s. You know, that is the holy grail of musky fishing VHS tapes at my house as a child. But there's a bait he's throwing in the majority of that, which is a bait he still owns called Lenny. Right? It's a top rater he calls Lenny. And that thing runs about, it's half out of the water, half in. And it runs a little bit deeper than your, and obviously when I say deeper, about a couple half fraction, small fractions. It's not running subsurface, but it sets a little bit deeper. It digs in a little bit deeper on the surface there. And that seems to be the difference. I don't know. I'm rambling, and I apologize, but you know where I'm going, Jay.
Yep.
Anyway, Jackson from Maine. The bodies of water where I fish muskies are, where muskies are found are very, very limited. 6 confirmed lakes. There are rumors floating around that muskies have gotten to a fish river chain of lakes. He's naming them, I don't need those. There's little concrete evidence to be found on the internet to support these claims. How should I go about finding out more information about the fish, right? When I do go and fish these body of water myself, should I be looking at proving there's muskies in them and a set of lakes? Hold on. Okay, I'm summarizing here, but rumored through flooding that muskies have gotten some other bodies of water, right? What do we do to sort of check out a body of water we've never... We don't know if there's muskies there.
Mm-hmm.
There's no local knowledge on this thing. There's no guaranteed there's muskies here. What do we do? I've done it here in the South on bodies of water where nobody cares about, and you go, there ought to be fish there. I'm going to focus on fishing those bodies of water under the best conditions I can. Right? Because you could be in an extremely low density situation, or you could be in a high density situation. But don't discount. It's just like checking out a spot, Jay. What we always say is don't write a spot off until you fished it under absolute prime, right? I can answer this question really simply. Whatever bodies of water in your surrounding area, when those bodies are turned on, when you're like, man, we're slaying them on this lake, right? That's when you need to check out these other places that you're not sure about, because you go, okay, you're confident the muskies in nearby waters are going, right? So your seasonality is good. Apply what you're doing on your near waters to this. Now, not every body of water is the same. I understand that, but this is a loose generality to get started, right?
Yeah.
So apply what's working on your productive waters to these new waters under prime conditions during the prime time, right? And don't go out for a day. Go 2 days, go 3 days, where you can make adjustments and you can get dialed in. You go, okay, we're contacting fish, we're not contacting fish, right? And then do that a couple trips. And like I said, you know, you never know. You might have maybe it's a new moon weekend in this whatever, it's prime. Sometimes they're just not going. Don't write it off immediately, but if you're hitting it under your regional's prime time, you're hitting it in the general areas that work in that region with the baits that seem to work there, make those augmentations, make small changes while you're out. But, you know, if it's not happening reasonably quick, I don't say reasonably quickly, but if it's not coming together in a reasonable fashion, you can sort of go, I don't know about this. It might not be a high enough density to fish. I've done that where you go, I moved one in about 5 trips. Don't know if I want to spend a lot of time on this. Or you might go out there and it's just dynamite. So give it a look under the best. You're going to have to probably forego a trip on a body of water that you know you can go catch fish for to go explore. And it's pretty rewarding, Jay, to go fish a body of water there's not supposed to be muskies in. You know, and you go, I'm catching them. So that's cool.
I've done that. Yeah.
Yeah. And just apply that basic, you know, a little basic logic and reason and go, you know, don't go check out this new body of water in a crap condition and go, this place isn't cooking. So that would be it. Jay, I am freezing cold. I am wet from head to toe. I'm going to replay that uber 80s intro on the thing. Next week, we got a little special. We're going to do a master class next week. So hold on to it.
Woo!
Hold on to your butts. I'll tell you which one we're doing here shortly. Anyway, Jay, I'm going to go warm up. I'm going to have a few more Pepsi.
Say goodnight. Night, guys. Thank you.
The greatest musky fishing songs of the 1980s, exclusively from Slime Life Records.
Elmer's on a fishing trip far away. He drove all the way to Plover. So many baits that he wants to take. You know he likes his boats a little bit older. I just wanna fish some grubs tonight.
This is Steve Urban. As you all well know, I probably don't remember much from the 70s and 80s, but these are the greatest musky songs of all time.
Forget the greatest song ever recorded about solo musky angling. No 1980s musky compilation would be complete without JSE's hit about custom show colors.
But I see your show colors shine through. See your show colors, you got smooth. But don't be afraid to let them troll.
Hi, folks. This is Elmer Jensen, and I can assure you that these songs are the best musky songs ever made.
Let's get everything. I miss the rain.
get the timeless 1980s musky fishing classic about fishing Smitty jerkbaits. Chance to own the greatest musky fishing classics from the 1980s. Elmer's standing by!
Slime Life Records Musky Fishing Hits of the 80s is available exclusively on CD, cassette, 8-track, and Betamax.